Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
66 years ago today, a plane crash killed singer Buddy Holly. Also on that plane was Richie Valens, and he died in the plane crash and wasn't even supposed to be on that plane. He got on it because of a coin flip. A coin flip put him on that plane, which eventually crashed. And I think it is a super interesting topic about how randomness and chaos ends up having lasting big consequences. And a professor of sociology and social welfare at Washington University, he is the author of a book called The Random Factor: How Chance and Luck Profoundly Shape Our Lives and the World Around Us. Mark Rank is with us here on KMOX. We appreciate your time, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing okay, and that it's such an interesting story when you hear about that, or you hear about Mark Wahlberg, who was supposed to be on that flight in Boston that was one of the 9/11 hijacked planes. You hear about things like that, that it's all about chance, that had one thing gone a different direction, or you're not late for a flight or something, that it has massive consequences, or it can have big consequences.
Oh, that is definitely the case. There was a guy that wrote a book a few years ago on the 9/11 tragedy, and he said, you know, who survived and who didn't. So much of it was just chance and randomness, you know, a missed telephone call or a meeting that was canceled at the last minute, these kinds of things. So you see this over and over, particularly in things like accidents and plane crashes and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, and not to stay on the 9/11 plane crash, but I have a really good friend of mine who took that flight, American Airlines Flight 11, out of Boston every week, and he was supposed to take it that day, but his wife, who is a physician, got called in and had to work an extra shift. They had just had a young kid, and she's like, that's our rule. You got to stay home with the kid if I get called in, and he canceled like the day before, but he took that flight every week, and that was the day he canceled.
Yeah, no, that you hear that over and over again, and people that just by pure chance, luck, you know, either avoided a tragedy or unfortunately, you know, were part of a tragedy. So that's a story that you hear, you know, over and over. And it's certainly the case, this really interesting case, as you mentioned, 66 years ago with the crash that killed Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and J.P. Richardson. And, you know, the fact that Richie Valens was on that flight came down to a coin flip. So the concert was in Clear Lake, Iowa. It was the 11th concert on this winter holiday, winter dance party tour that was a horrible tour for the musicians. It was all through the Midwest. The weather was horrible. The bus kept breaking down. And Buddy Holly at this point said, look, I'm going to charter a plane. We got our next concert is Moorhead, Minnesota. I'm going to charter a plane, and there's two other spots available. Well, it came down to a coin flip, and the MC for the evening said to Richie Valens, he wanted the last seat, but it had been promised to Buddy Holly's guitarist Tommy Alsop. And Richie Valens said to him, he said, I'll tell you what, let's flip for it. So the guitarist Tommy Alsop agrees, but neither of them had a coin in their pocket. And so the MC says, you know, I have a quarter, Richie, you call it. And Valens called heads, the coin was flipped, it landed on heads. And the MC said, okay, Richie, you're flying. And what Valens is reported to have said was, well, that's the first time I've ever won anything in my life.
Oh.
And he got that last seat, and the plane took off, you know, after the concert. 5 minutes later, it went down. And I'll tell you, last year I went to the Surf Ballroom, which is where the concert was in Clear Lake, Iowa. And I stood in the dressing room where that coin flip took place. And when you think about it, a coin in the air determined who lived and who died on that day. It's just, you know, really, really profound.
And Tommy Alsup, by the way, he lived to be 85, and he died in Springfield, Missouri. So
it, he did.
Yeah.
He
which
did. And in fact, he called, he had a bar or saloon, and he called it the Heads Up Saloon.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
So how did you get interested in this? Why did you want to write this particular book? What did it for you?
Yeah, so I did an earlier book on the American Dream, and I talked to a whole bunch of people actually in the St. Louis area. And, you know, I was interested in a lot of things. But one thing that kept coming up that people kept mentioning that I wasn't really anticipating was they would say things like, you know, as I think back on my life, if I hadn't sort of run into that person, or if I hadn't missed that telephone call, or whatever it might be, my life would actually be quite different than it is today. And I started thinking, you know, this is really an important factor in people's lives, but there's not a lot talked about it. So that really got me interested in this idea of how important randomness is and chances, both in the world around us and in our individual personal lives. So it's just a fascinating subject because it really is actually pretty profound when you think about it.
Yeah, in your book, too, you talk about Buddy Holly. You also brought up the Cuban Missile Crisis. What role did luck have to play in the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Yeah, it's a fantastic story. It's a chilling story, and I'll just make it really short. You know, Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962. You know, we were very close to nuclear war with the Russians, and President Kennedy ordered a blockade of ships Russian ships coming into Cuba to be stopped. Well, what happened was, there was four submarines, Russian submarines, that approached the blockade. And unbeknownst to Kennedy in the United States, each one of those submarines had a nuclear-tipped torpedo. And what happened was one of those submarines was the U.S. was trying to force it to the surface. And they did. And when the sub came to the surface, the commander of that sub thought they were under attack because shots were being fired across the bow, all kinds of things were happening. And he said, have the sub dive and arm the nuclear tip torpedo for firing. Now, in that split second, what happened was there were two other people on the conning tower, and a sailor, Russian sailor, got his foot stuck on the conning tower ladder. And in that split second, the second in command realized that the U.S. was firing warning shots. They were not attacking. And he said, stop the order. They're only signaling. Now, if that Russian sailor hadn't gotten his foot stuck on the conning tower ladder, that sub would have submerged and probably within 5 minutes fired that nuclear tip torpedo at the U.S. fleet, and we would have had a complete catastrophe in World War III. And it was only because a sailor got his foot stuck on that particular time.
That is nuts. I mean, because I think when we like to think of major events in our lives or globally, we like to think that it was all sort of planned, you know, that it followed a certain path, and the path was laid out ahead of time. You don't really give enough credit to just stuff happening.
That's right. I mean, we think, oh, history had to follow this way. This is the way it happened. Well, no, history could go many, many, many different ways. And I'll just give you one very recent example of a pure chance event was the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Had he not turned his head in the split second when that shot was fired, he may very well have been killed. But he turned his head. If you look at that video, he turned his head and the shot just grazed him. Well, that was just pure chance at that. And think of the implications and the repercussions one way or the other that would have had. And again, it was chance and luck.
Do you think your book would perhaps motivate people to, as Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa, says, be ready when the luck happens, meaning you may have a certain idea for a trajectory of your life. You may not know how it goes, but be prepared for a random opportunity. Be prepared for a chance meeting. Be prepared for a role that you might be able to fill. Do you know what I mean? So if that luck happens, you're ready to go.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And at the end of the book, I have a chapter where I talk about lessons that can be learned from all of this. And that is definitely one of the lessons. So things happen to people, you know, that they didn't anticipate. But are you aware of things that happen? Do you have your eyes open? And are you able to take advantage of things that may come your way? And that's a really important lesson. So it's not just a fait accompli that chance and luck happen to people. It's also, what do you do when those opportunities come your way? And that's a really important lesson.
We are talking with Mark Rank, professor of sociology and social welfare at Wash U. His book is called The Random Factor. Are there any other examples? I'm sure there have to be many, many examples of this, but one that you can think of other than the Cuban Missile Crisis, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, that maybe had implications, worldwide implications, and it was all because of something random that happened.
Yeah, there are many, many, many. But I'll give you just one real quick one that is related to St. Louis. And that has to do with Phyllis Schlafly, who I interviewed for an earlier book. And, you know, she was very involved. She got very involved in stopping the Equal Rights Amendment in the 1970s. Well, the whole reason she got involved in that was a random telephone call from a librarian in Connecticut who asked her to come out and do a lecture on the topic of the Equal Rights Amendment. And Phyllis said to me, you know, I wasn't at all interested in that. I was interested in national security issues. But here's an example where she took an advantage of the opportunity. She decided to follow through with that and to give that lecture. And she became involved in actually mobilizing and stopping that amendment. And I asked her, I said, if you hadn't gotten that phone call on that day, would you have gotten involved in this? And she said, absolutely not. And there's a case where a random telephone call out of the blue changed history. It changed the idea of the Equal Rights Amendment being passed.
That's wow. And you know what? I'm thinking right now of, and correct me if I'm wrong on this story, but the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand.
Yes.
That was also that the driver took a wrong turn. The guy who was trying to kill him I think that was it. He was trying to kill him, missed his chance, was right. In a cafe or something, lamenting the fact that he missed his chance. And the car came back around because the driver went the wrong way.
That's exactly right. And think of the implications of that, the start of World War One.
Yeah.
Or give an example in the book of a bomb, not the 1944 bomb attempt on Hitler, but in 1939, there was another attempt. And the only reason Hitler survived is he decided to cut his speech short, which he normally didn't do. And 12 minutes after he left that hall, the bomb exploded, killing, you know, 50 or 60 people. And he would have been killed had he been 10 minutes longer in terms of his speech. So there's many, many profound examples of that.
Is that the bomb where it was in a I thought there was a bomb where in a conference room and that was a different one.
Yeah, that was the 1944 one. This was in 1939 in Munich, and he gave this annual speech, and this bomb, a lot of people don't know about it, but this bomb exploded, and it was right next to where he was giving that speech, and he definitely would have been killed. And imagine if he had been killed in 1939, how history would have played out much differently. The Holocaust may not have happened. World War II would have played out much differently. So here again, and here's the interesting thing. On his way back to Berlin, he had a train stop in Nuremberg, and he was told about this bomb attempt. And do you know what he said? He said, a man has to be lucky. Well, he was lucky, and we were very unlucky as a result of that.
You know, it's interesting, this book, looking at randomness, and I come from a faith perspective, as a Christian, but also knowing that humans make decisions, right? Have free will to make decisions, yeah. And there's consequences to those decisions. And so going through world history, I think for me, one thing that's so interesting from your book is it's a very humbling book. I think humankind, we can become a little arrogant about how much we can control and realize at any moment we're on the precipice of disaster or the edge of success. If anything, your book is not only interesting, but I think it's humbling.
That is spot on. You know, one of the lessons I say is that when you realize that there is a lot of chance and randomness and luck in the world, it can instill in you a sense of humility that, you know, it isn't all about me. It isn't all about like I can do everything and it's all going to happen the way I think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. No, no, it's very different. And that's a very humbling kind of lesson. But the other lesson that I think is really important is that's what gives the spice to life. If everything was a fait accompli, what a boring world we would live in. Mm-hmm. So what's really interesting is that things that you didn't anticipate might happen. And that's, I think, quite cool.
And an opportunity for gratitude when things do go well. I mean, a sports analogy would be you can be a great team, but it's hard to win. It is hard to win a championship. Things have to fall in your favor. So it does give us an opportunity for gratitude.
Exactly, exactly. Gratitude is really important. The other thing, the other lesson I think with all of this is the idea of having empathy for others mm-hmm. whose luck may not have worked out the way that, you know, you would like it to. And so, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. So, you know, these are all really important lessons.
Does Jack Dawson ending up on the Titanic, does that count? Or does it, because he won the ticket on a game of poker, or does it not count because it's a movie?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
One.
Think about
it. Don't
waste
this guy's time.
Yes, it is. Mark Rank, it was a really fascinating discussion. Love talking to you about this. So thank you for visiting with us today.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. And don't forget to count your lucky stars.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mark Rank, professor of sociology and social welfare at Wash U. The book is called The Random Factor, How Chance and Luck Profoundly Shape Our Lives and the World Around Us. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.